Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's afternoons with OMF.
Hey, Coach, I gotta ask you.
What do you see in him on the field from a talent standpoint?
All players in this league are talented players, so they wouldn't be in this league.
All right, on to Detroit.
As far as Detroit goes, the kicking game is very explosive.
Wait a minute!
Are you serious?
I'm having a mental breakdown!
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
John Sterling will be joining the Red Sox broadcast tonight.
Boyd hits one to Beloit.
Now, John Sterling, the rivalry in the booth tonight.
When you go over, you'll be with Susan.
He's one of those guys, I'm telling you, like Shelly Duncan. He's better break someone's forearm.
I believe in conversation. I believe in, you know, people going back and forth.
Can I get to my pet peeves?
The mic is open. You can talk whenever you want.
Please let's not try to talk over each other.
Swing and a miss, strike three. The Red Sox have won the...
Hold on, Glenn. Hold on.
The Red Sox have won the American League's Eastern Division Championship.
The Yankees lose.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
So it was a fun night out in the Bronx. The bats came to a life. The Red Sox had to come back in that game because the pitching wasn't so good. Don't blame Stephen Wright. He once again was pretty damn good out there.
Damn Skippy.
Yep. And then we had the fourth inning and the big promotion that we've been talking about here nonstop for the last couple of weeks.
What do you think?
It was exciting. God, it was really exciting. So John Sterling.
I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah. So John Sterling comes on our air. He's got one inning to broadcast, and this is him talking about the Red Sox and the Yankees in the top of the fourth inning.
We're not going to do that yet. We're not going to do that. We're going to do...
Tanaka not only has had nothing tonight, but he's taken a long time doing nothing. And Boston has a 4-2 lead. Rodriguez deals outside. Rodriguez has thrown... Now, 77 pitches. This has a feel of an old-time Yankee Red Sox game, the kind of game that goes over 4 hours.
I love it, Susan. Great to be with you.
Didn't you say I'll see you at 9 o'clock? And
I did, were right. Before the game, and here we are, 137 pitches later.
We've been playing in 2 hours for three innings. Joe, before the game, said to me, I'll see you at about 9 o'clock, because this is old
inning.
Red Sox. This is old Red Sox Yankees, but the players aren't the same.
I will say this. Didn't it sound like Joe and Susan were on a date?
Yes. Yes, yeah, and it also felt
it was more electricity there.
Yeah, and it felt like Tim and John were also on a date, like a blind date,
no.
And it wasn't going well.
No, it was not going well.
It was
well
awkward
at all.
Silence, yeah. Random stories.
I asked Susan yesterday for some advice on how to work with you, and she said, don't worry, John will take care of it all. I said, it's okay, so the pressure's on.
Well, I'll tell you what I do. What do you do? The mic is open. You can talk whenever you want. I really believe in that. I believe in conversation. I believe in, you know, people going back and forth. Some don't. We all have different styles, but that's my style. So actually, Tim, I hope you talk up a storm. You know,
he didn't, and they didn't talk up a storm, and there was no conversation. And you already heard it with Sterling and talking about this was an old-fashioned Red Sox-Yankee game. That was in the top of the fourth.
Right.
Now think about this. He's only doing one inning on our air. He repeated himself in the bottom of the fourth inning.
That'll be an 0-1. Swung on and hit in the air to right field. Martinez back on the track near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo Nocifostopalo. He hits a home run, a line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
You want to start over?
Yeah, let's start over. Let's dig out the two stats.
Talk about that.
John repeated himself. He's doing one inning on our air.
Yeah.
And you would think that he would come up with a few different things that he could talk about. Instead, he talked about old-fashioned Red Sox Yankees in the top of the fourth, and then he repeated himself in the bottom of the fourth.
Yeah,
I saw nothing wrong with it. I thought it was a cool little experience. One inning, no, big deal. I mean, I was watching the game. I said, "Oh, let me check the radio out, see what's going on." It was weird listening to Tim and John. I like it in. I thought it was an awkward.
Tim didn't
like,
say
you
much.
Know blind date. With the only thing that was missing was, hey, how about the weather? I heard they have great shrimp scampi here.
So I mean, that's the whole. That's what everybody was waiting for. Somebody hit a home run in the fourth inning when John Sterling's up there. So Stanton, of course, hits the grand slam because Hembry comes in. His job's to get guys out with guys on base. He hasn't been able to do it
how'd
recently.
That work out?
So he hits the grand slam, but you didn't like Glenn. You didn't like Sterling doing his Stanton
call.
Thing. So what? What did you expect him to do?
It's Italian.
So?
It's the same call.
Oh, stop it with the
you
Italian.
You can't be more
so
creative
what? That's what makes
than this. So you come up with one call
Glenn,
every time
call.
Stanton hits a home run?
It's his call of Stanton's home run.
You don't do that every single game.
Well,
that's
so
lazy.
Every time
you say the good
listen, this tough guy over here.
Oh my god!
So every
it's
time,
his call.
So the guy hits 40 home runs
every time
he's
he says
have
the same
John
call.
Yes.
What did you
know? Si può scopolo.
Yeah, that's his call. That's I mean, so if Stanton hits a home run because he's on WEI, he's gonna be like drive to right, home run, Stanton. That as a listener, I'd feel cheated.
Yes.
No, he talked to
do
he,
your normal
he talked before
call.
Before the game, he talked about how he comes up with all these creative calls. He's got one call. He admitted that
that's
he
your,
went to, he went tag. To he went to Berlitz, some lady
a
at Berlitz
call for each,
to give him one
each,
line of Italian.
A creative call for each guy.
Giancarlo.
And then he has it.
Non si può scopolo.
I think he's got the Stantonian whatever blast.
Do you
but
have any
that,
of your patented home run calls ready for the Red Sox, Mookie Betts, or J.D. Martinez?
If one happens, those would be the two guys. I'll try to think of something, but I'm not going to try to plan it.
Oh, that's
you know, I think I kidded with you. That
well, that's a lie.
Of course
years and
a
years
lie.
When it got to the Yankees, and they weren't very good.
He's full of it.
And CBS still had that Saturday afternoon game
that's
and
a
had
lie.
The hometown interview.
Yeah. But that's not going to be
full
it.
Of it.
You know, he was sitting there before the game
yeah.
and I try to have something for each guy in that lineup just in case. Yeah. I'm not going to think about it.
Same
oh, so if you do it, it's going to be.
Home run.
Oh, my God. The greatest part was he didn't even prepare. He just happened.
It just
and he
hit
made the call. No, he was preparing for it.
No,
but I'm glad he did it because that's yeah,
the I mean, idea that this guy, the little Earl over here, wants him to come up with a different call every single time.
I didn't hear Jerry.
Time.
Was Jerry saying the same thing this morning?
Oh, probably. Oh,
same
no,
call.
Actually, probably. No. Jerry liked it. I heard Jerry this morning. He
really?
Said he loved it. Well, unless he was just completely mocking it, and I couldn't tell, which I guess is understandable.
Yeah.
But no, it sounded like
I will
he,
say
at
this,
the end liked the idea.
I will say this, that I did listen to Joe a little bit. I was listening to Joe in the car, so I heard it on FAN, on AM radio. Joe's voice sounded totally different.
Do you know, when I was a little girl in Boston, obviously, my brother and I would take the streetcar down to Fenway, and we'd watch the Yankees get off the bus. And I remember Mel Allen always in a top coat and a hat and a suit and tie.
Always dapper, foul to the right out of play. And
you like this, huh?
He was the
Fourier?
Voice of baseball, not only the Yankees.
Well, not to those of us who grew up someplace else.
Well, that's true. You
know,
and Kurt Gowdy.
That was Kurt Gowdy. No, it's funny. There are you, 7-year-old.
These two are having a blast.
They're having a great time.
It's a date.
Taking
little
the train
Susie
to the Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello.
It's funny how things turn out.
You want red or white here, Susan? What do you want?
You never know. 1-2 pitch is hit.
I didn't know. No, I didn't listen to that. I didn't.
No, they
listen
were much better. They were much better
but
together.
Here's
than,
an example of Sterling. I mean, I want to count. I want you guys to count the sounds.
It's dead air. The dead air.
That's dead.
It's dead air right now.
That is dead air.
Red Sox with a 4-2 lead, top of the fourth, breaking ball strike. Thus far, Tanaka's best inning. Tanaka has hit 70 pitches.
Geez, I don't know what to say. It's like a bad, awkward
Tim, have
date.
You been amazed?
Oh, at so it's like a bad. So I heard this. This is what I heard.
As Tanaka ready to deal 0-1.
It's real good.
Pitch cut on missed. About the versatility of the Boston offense.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
It's not Tim's comfort zone.
No, it isn't. No. It isn't. Joe was fine. Tim was not.
We even said, he's like, speak freely. That's what we do throughout the
so
whole
the
thing.
So the count holds at 0-2.
No conversation.
And you know, Mookie, who's the best hitter in the game, I think.
Okay.
His last time at bat last night, he missed a grand slam just. You know, just went on the wrong side of the pole.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was a that was
he
a,
doing a game by himself?
Well, if you hang it, we'll bang it.
Yeah. By the way, do you have Castig's call? I don't even know if
it was good.
Yeah,
I heard Castig's call.
Yep, when I the 0-1, swinging a drive to right field. Back goes J.D. Martinez to the wall, and it is going gone. A grand slam. Giancarlo Stanton and the Yankees have a 6-4 lead. The Walks come back to haunt the Red Sox.
And as I just said, there is no one in this ballpark who needed that more than Giancarlo Stanton, a standing ovation for Stanton. They're killing him down there.
Oh my God. Get her own Sterling.
Is it bad if I cannot stand the sound of her voice?
You're talking about it was all in English. I like Joe's. It was all in English, no Italian.
I can't stand the sound of her voice.
Is this cool or what?
Oh my. Oh my God. Ow. Hey, Joe.
And as I just said, there is no one in this ballpark who needed that more than Giancarlo Stanton, a standing ovation.
Oh, my God. I'll take Mendoza over her every single day.
No, you know, I'll say this. Maybe it would have been better.
Roger Clemens.
Would have been better maybe if they did it for two or three innings and maybe they could get more comfortable with each other. Because, you know, you've done it. One inning, anything could happen. As a matter of fact, it looked like it was happening quickly because it was 1-2-3 top of the fourth, and then there were two outs, I believe, instantly in the bottom of the fourth, and then everything started.
Well, it should have been a conversation while the game was going on.
Exactly.
But thus far,
the only way you can do that is over a longer period of time.
Knock is it 70 pitches.
One inning is, you know.
Okay, awkward silence. It's like a bad first blind date.
Tim, have you been amazed?
Tim, you got to bring Tim in. There's no conversation.
Tim, talk to me.
Do you work out, Tim? What do you like to do? I do a lot of squats.
Tim, you ever seen a grown man naked?
Yeah, exactly.
So the count holds at 0-2. And you know, Mookie.
It's uncomfortable. That was uncomfortable. That was awkward.
Yeah. It was first date. It was blind date. It was like your first blind date. You've heard about this guy. You come in and visually you're like, I'm not really attracted to him.
That's what I'm saying. They probably should have let it go for more than it
is. This is really an old-fashioned Yankee Red Sox game. It probably will take 5 hours. Yeah. 108.
Did Tim talk at all?
108.
Is there any sound of Tim talking?
But the worst was that Sterling ran out of things to say because he said that
all up
in the top of the fourth, and then he said the exact same thing.
He was searching for something.
In the bottom of the fourth, it's almost like, what do I say?
Yeah, he was searching.
Well, it's great to have you here in the booth, John, and I know the folks in Boston are interested to hear if somebody in a Boston uniform hits a home run tonight, what you might say.
Well, I don't know what I would say, but the guy with the home run is the least likely guy to hit a home run, Brock Holt.
Not lately.
He missed it. There you go. But meanwhile, it's just burying the lead that Heath Hembree has one role on this team, and that's to come in with guys on and get guys out in the playoffs.
How'd that work out for
you
last night?
And that didn't work. Other than that, it was a perfect game. It was perfectly everything. Offense
not
came
a great
back.
Swing and
not E-Rod, but Stephen Wright. Like I told you, that's the exact role.
Yep.
That I've been saying for some time now. The exact role. He's not going to come in and get guys out of a jam in the bottom of the third or the fourth like Hembree tried to do. Someone's job is to get out of the fourth. Someone's job is to get out of the sixth in a jam and then hand the ball over to Stephen Wright. I'm telling you, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Wright and Eovaldi. If Wright goes three innings and he can't go, the next day it's going to be Eovaldi. That's how they're going to hand the ball off to Kimbrel or mix in a little Brazier. Tim?
That's Tim.
Live.
Tim.
Pomeranz. An average of over 7.
Hey, Denny Mac, that was awful.
I would not close the door yet on Eovaldi. Starting in one of those games at Yankee Stadium.
Erod
couldn't get the ball over the plate last night.
No.
All right? So do you waste both of those guys if you start an Erod and then you put a quick hooker? As you said yesterday, Porcello, you usually have a good indication in the first inning, but you put him out there for one inning and you got to bring Eovaldi in the second. You're down 3-0, 4-0.
Well, the problem
why not start Eovaldi?
So the problem I have is one of these things of so are we going to make this decision going in? We're going to wait to see who we're playing. So is Eovaldi going to start if it's the Yankees? Is it going to be Erod if it's Oakland?
Yeah.
All right. Then so Eovaldi's a starter for the Yankees, and then we go to Houston. All of a sudden now Erod, who hasn't started in 15 days, is going to start Game 4.
Well, you're going to bring him out of Houston. But you're going to bring him out of the bullpen at some point, right? So you use him in the bullpen.
Maybe you can't plan. You might. Yeah, you probably will.
Well, unless your starters are going deep into the game, and then you're in
you
good shape.
Will. You probably will. But what if like Sale goes and it's no big deal? Go Sale. Brazier, Kimbrel, and then Price throws the ball real well, and next thing you know, you're like, all right, Erod hasn't thrown in a while. I mean, it's just, I think it's going to be tough to just pick a starter for series to series and then ask the guy that didn't start in the first series to come back and be the starter in the second series.
Yeah. Well, I think
that'd be
more
difficult.
I think more importantly, the guy who's going tonight has to give you a little bit more. You have to see a little bit more evidence.
Both teams are wishing that they could see everything.
Yeah.
Bauer
yeah.
for Cleveland?
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing.
He was their best pitcher earlier in the season, so they're looking at but looking at the Sale thing, you don't have much time. You're talking about October 5th, that Friday. We expect that Chris Sale will be the starting pitcher. The question is, how many innings can he give you? How many pitches can he give you?
Yeah.
You can't sit there and say in game one, well, he's on a pitch count. He's on an 80 pitch count. That's ridiculous. You can't do that in a playoff game.
No, you can't. So we'll see what he does tonight. But last night was when I say perfect game, because I do think it's going to be right. It's going to be maybe hand the ball off or Brazier to Kimbrel, whatever, Evaldi. So that was right. And the offense, we were talking about it yesterday. That's why this offense can be bullpen proof. You know, the Henry comes in here and makes it 6-4. But what does the offense do? What does Mookie Betts do? A guy that hasn't been swinging the bat well.
It's pretty good.
This is why I say the bullpen, they don't have enough pitching for their offense to stay stagnant. So what happened? We've seen this before all year. Bullpen gives it up. Offense comes back and puts on 6-7 runs.
See, I'm not worried about
winning that game.
I know you were a little concerned yesterday about the offense. I'm not concerned about the offense.
Well, not last night. I mean, I felt a little bit better because I actually saw it.
I want you
to
feel better.
It's been a while since you saw it. But that was like exactly what we were talking about before. Steven Wright giving you those three innings, bridging that gap. And the offense, even though the bullpen will indeed in the postseason give it up at times, but the offense good enough to come back and not make a difference.
All right, 617-779-7937, the Red Sox celebration and the Patriots Sunday night. How much of Josh Gordon will we see against the Lions? 617-779-7937.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Stanton is won by a seat. And this is really an old-fashioned Yankee Red Sox game. Probably will take 5 hours. 1-0. Here's Jackie Bradley Jr. One out, no one on, bottom of the fourth. The Red Sox with a 4-2 lead. And Rodriguez deals outside. Rodriguez has thrown now 77 pitches. This has a feel of an old-time Yankee Red Sox game, the kind of game that goes over 4 hours.
He's just repeating himself. It's one inning. And he says the same thing in the top of the fourth as he says in the bottom of the fourth.
Oh. He had a lot of time. There's a lot of space. Very respectful.
Old-time Yankee Red Sox game, the kind of game that goes over 4 hours.
That's Dino style of radio right there. Like everybody, nobody's stepping on each other. Everybody's being respectful. Give him a make sure he finishes. You know, see the period. See the
exclamation
point.
This is really
point.
An old fashioned Yankee Red Sox game. Yeah, it will take 5 hours.
Is it? That happens when both guys can't get out of the first inning.
Yeah. Goes over 4 hours.
All right, let's get to the phone calls. Here's Jeff down in Miami Beach. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Jeff.
All right, listen, this question's pointed towards our one guy that's played baseball in there and has been
Christian?
A critic, like myself, of how this bullpen is constructed. But I've got to ask you a question, because I tweeted at you a few times, and you seem to have always defended Embry. And so let me get the question out there, and then I'll step aside and let you answer it.
Go.
And we'll go worst case, best case, and most likely. Best case, left
here we go.
Let me bring
best
Embry case. In. someone hits a shot. Stanton hits a shot at somebody and grounds into a double play, or it's just a shot
and
a miracle happens. What most likely is exactly what happened. How can he keep going to Embry, or how in the world has Dombrowski put Cora in the position where he has to keep going to one guy and one guy only with men on base?
Heath Embry, I would say, has had a tough September like everybody else. And before
top
that,
August, Luke. August.
Okay, well, I would say for about 2 months, he would come in with guys on base and get out of it. And he was money.
That was then.
Okay, well, that was then. And that's probably when I was defending Heath Embry. You think I'm defending Heath Embry after the last couple of weeks? He comes in now, and the first guy he faces, he gives up a double against Houston. And last night, he gives up a bomb. He is not pitching well in the role that they have eyed for him. And they have to start wondering if they can keep him or not.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. But who do they have? I mean, I understand that they
don't.
You know, they have Wright. They can't bring him with men on. But they have Wright. They have Brazier. They have guys that can get them through to Kimball. Okay, but they don't have anybody in that situation other than Embry. I don't see another guy that they have.
Well, they're going to try guys. They're going to try Brazier. That's why you saw him coming with guys on base. He said he's going to try Wright coming with guys on base.
They got 2 weeks.
Eovaldi probably won't have time. It's going to be Matt Barnes. Maybe he's that guy.
Jeff, that's been their problem all season long. They've had different guys. We talked about Joe Kelly being the eighth inning guy for about a month and a half.
No chance.
Okay, and now there's no chance. I don't even think he's going to be in the playoff
Again, we've talked about the last 2 weeks here. He has put stress on this bullpen to try to find a role. You want to make this team, go earn it. I'm going to put you in a role that I think you can help. I'm going to challenge you and put you in a stressful situation. And these pitchers are help making a decision for Alex. There's guys that are doing the job with a little bit of pressure on them to make the team, and there's other guys that aren't.
Henry's throwing the ball well. Barnes is throwing the ball well.
Barnes we haven't seen yet. He's hopefully coming back. He's back now, and we'll see.
Barnes is like Josh Gordon right now.
Yeah.
Okay, well, where are you going to get somebody that's better than him?
Who?
I don't know.
Brazier has thrown the ball great for him. I mean, he was touching 99 last night.
Mm-hmm. That's
and we all know the importance of Joe Kelly.
He loves velocity.
He is a strike thrower.
Dombrowski loves velocity.
He does.
You have a guy throwing 99, all of them throwing 99. They all get hit left and right. He's still going to talk about it. He still throws 99.
But they all do that.
Velocity doesn't get people out anymore.
Right. And we all know the importance of Joe Kelly.
But see, they've had different guys who have stepped to the plate and have established a specific role out of the bullpen. They just haven't been able to maintain it for the entire season. So we're constantly looking. So Hembry, month and a half ago, you're looking at it saying, it's pretty good with coming men.
Inherited runners,
right.
That was unbelievable.
But not anymore.
He stranded everybody for a while, and they struggled here recently. Yeah.
By the way, the Yankees bullpen is having their own issues.
You ain't kidding.
And they have guys who are established and have done this before. Let's go to Bob. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Bob?
Okay, I'm on the air now?
Yes, you are on Bob. The air, officially.
That works. Yep.
Very good. Great show, guys. First of all, great show, great station.
Thank
okay,
you.
Compliments to all of you. And I guess I'm calling because I'm kind of like scared. This bullpen, I had this horrible vision that in the divisional series, not even the ALCS, but in the divisional, the Sox are going to get knocked out by Houston or Cleveland because that bullpen.
Well, they won't face either one of those teams in the divisional series.
They're
going to face either the Oakland A's or the New York Yankees. Whoever. That's the divisional series, and then the Astros will play the Indians, and then they'll play the winner of the divisional series.
I don't think they'll even get past,
the Yankees or the A's? Yankees.
No, I don't think.
I'm afraid!
I think they will. I think they will because, again.
That's going to be really bad.
I'm actually starting to feel a little bit better about it.
Is that today? Because yesterday.
Yeah. Tomorrow, it'll be totally different.
You were concerned about the offense yesterday.
No. I told you this a little bit ago.
Wasn't he?
A little bit. No, I'm talking about the bullpen.
What's best case scenario?
I'm talking about the bullpen.
For the bullpen. What's the best case scenario?
Because I think guys are pitching themselves out of roles. Guys that you didn't trust in the postseason, they're pitching themselves out of roles. And honestly, I think it's going to be a lot of Brazier, Stephen Wright, and I think Eovaldi, and then we'll see what Barnes looks like when he comes back.
Brazier has thrown the ball great for him.
So I think it's going to be those guys. I don't think these other guys that we're worried about are either you going to be on the roster or they're going to pitch in those games when you're down 6-1. There's going to be a game when you're down 6-1. Okay, and here comes the guy, that seventh bullpen arm you put in that game. He's going to pitch a couple. He's not going to let these guys are showing Alex they can't handle it. So you're going to get all Wright, you're going to get all Eovaldi, and you're going to get Brazier, and you're going to get Kimbrel. So I'm starting to feel like, okay, I think they can bridge it. Is it ideal? No, it's only because those other guys are able to keep telling us we're good, aren't. And it's all coming to light. Why? Because of a little bit of pressure they put on him in Yankee Stadium. A little bit of pressure. Go earn your spot. Go learn. Tell me you can pitch to seven. Pitch to eight. Tell me you can get out of jams. And they're failing. So they're failing now instead of October. Hopefully that they pitch themselves completely out of games in which the Red Sox are leading. And they just leave it strictly to Wright. And they leave it to Eovaldi. And they leave it to Brazier. And they leave it to Kimbrel. And that's it.
See, I think the first two starters right out of the gate offer problems for you. Because the question is, what is Sale going to be when you get 2 weeks from today? What is he going to be? What can you do with him? And then on top of that, you've got David Price, who you can pitch in the number two spot out of the gate in a series against the Yankees. But you can't bring him back out of the bullpen in that series, can you? In game three or game four.
You're only worried about that. Think about that. You're only worried about that with David Price. You got to lay off David Price.
That's not okay?
The only reason why you're worried about him is if you just don't want him to pitch in New York, and he's not. So it's not even an option. And let's just say Oakland ends up taking that spot, then so what? So he's not going to pitch in Oakland either. So the Price situation and being nervous about him
is I'm not worried. You shouldn't worry. You shouldn't be bringing it up, really.
David Price to be successful.
Yeah, you worried about Houston with David Price.
That's not a problem. They're going to go Sale game one, Price game two anyway. If there was an outside option of flipping them, then maybe you would sit there. Maybe you'd be a little bit concerned. But that's not option A. Option A is Sale one, Price two.
Yeah, Fortnite.
But you can't flip them now, Lou. There's no way you can flip
them. I don't think they want to.
Yeah, you can't.
I don't think they want to.
Right.
So who cares?
Right.
I mean, that's like saying you can't hit Mookie's third. Great, because they don't want to hit him third. They want to hit him leadoff. So they don't want to make the switch. So there's no reason to worry about it.
Well, the question again is, how deep can you get Sale into the game? Because now you're depending on that bullpen right out of the gate. With your ace, you're depending on that bullpen. I don't know how many pitches he's going to be able to throw.
Game one could very well be Sale, Wright, Kimbrel.
Oh.
And I'd be fine with it. Mm. What are you going 0-4? I'd be fine with it. Totally fine. And then it's Price of lefty, followed by the righty of Valdi to mess with the lineup. I mean, so you got a lefty Sale going, and all of a sudden here comes the righty, you know, whenever it is, in the sixth. Now he's got to force him to make some changes, or actually it's a knuckleball, so who the hell cares? But then you go Price game two, and you got a Valdi playing the right role. And the right's available game three for Erod. So you go lefty and righty with a knuckleball. So, you know, I mean, it works out well.
We were talking about Price the night before leaving the ball out on the outer half. Did you notice that Erod was really working to keep that ball on the inner half last night?
God, I wish they would just catch Swihart.
He was really working to work. It was almost like it was in his head.
Just catch Swihart.
From what happened the night before.
Just catch Swihart.
I can't leave anything outside.
Go with Vasky. Just catch Swihart.
Well, they're not going to do that.
Apparently not.
They're not going to do that, but sounds to me like they're going to carry three catchers.
But you know, Alex the other day when he's like, well, it's real hard to catch three catchers in the big leagues. Well, I understand that, but you're only catching two. He's not catching three. I mean, it's either Leon or it's Vasquez. Blake's not catching anything. He caught Willie Cuevas, for Christ's sake.
Two games, right?
Yeah, and Brian
Said
Johnson.
Two starts,
yeah. Velasquez. I mean, he's not using three catches. He's only using two. I'd like to see him start using Swihart because he's better than Vasquez, offensively and defensively.
All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian on Sports Radio WEEI.
Here's what I know. Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving, it is more likely than not next year they're on a team together. Not sure which team. Though all three of those teams, by the way, have the ability to add two max players next offseason. The Lakers,
the Knicks.
The Knicks, the Nets, the Clippers. They all have the ability to bring them both there.
All right, that was Nick Wright, right? And he was talking about this deal, and a lot has been made of it the last few days, and I was kind of surprised that a lot of the green teamers were jumping all over the possibility that Jimmy Butler is available. He asked out of Minnesota, wants a trade, has given three teams, the Knicks, the Nets, and the Clippers. And then I read a piece the other day where the Celtics are the fourth best bet for Jimmy Butler's landing spot. And it's all because of Kyrie Irving, because the Celtics are now going to accommodate Kyrie and bring Jimmy Butler here, and then at the end of the year have to give him a maximum contract deal and then give Kyrie a maximum contract deal. None of this makes any sense to me. And now we've got a little bit more clarification. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, a lot of rival executives are lobbying calls to Minnesota's front office, the possibility of trading for Jimmy Butler. And they are getting shut down. Minnesota Timberwolves telling teams that Butler's an elite player and the franchise intends to keep him.
Hmm.
Now, he was apparently having some difficulty with Towns. There's some beef going on. Nobody's willing to tell the real story. And when that happens,
you
never know what's going on. But something's going on there. And then... was Wiggins involved in it? There was a bunch of stuff there.
So the question, because I've heard a few people say, oh, they should trade for him.
Why?
For who? Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
Why?
So what I don't understand is, number one, as far as, like you said, max contracts, right? So you're going to have Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, Gordon Hayward. Still got to average Al for another year, right?
Yes.
I mean, can you even do that financially? Do you have to move Hayward?
I don't know how you could do the deal right now because you'd have to bring in Butler.
Because I don't
Butler's
think,
making $20 million, 19.8.
Yes. And
so
I
how
think
do
Jimmy
you bring
Butler's,
him in?
A very good player. Okay, a very good player.
Right.
But I'm just saying as far as cost control, what you've seen, I feel like sometimes like deals are too hot. You just got to walk away from them. You know, like say Jimmy Butler for Jaylen Brown, Jimmy Butler for Jason Tatum. You know, and we this is what we have to do in order to assure Kyrie Irving's a member of the Boston Celtics. So how bad do you want Kyrie? Like, people would never do, you know, Tatum for Jimmy Butler right now, just after what you've seen. He's so young, you don't know what he could be. He could be here forever, right? Jaylen Brown, same thing. But if you had to move one to keep Kyrie here, and I'm not sure you have to, but would you do that?
See, I don't believe in this whole, like, this good old boy network with, like, the, you know, Jimmy Butler and Kyrie are boys, and they've talked to, you know, in the offseason, they want to play together. Because it makes no sense for Kyrie Irving to go anywhere. I mean, if he can only he can make the most money here with the Celtics if he re-signs with them. He's already on a contending team. So,
I'm with you. I think you just call the bluff and go with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's makes no sense for him to go anywhere. The team that he is on right now, he has everything that he wants. He's the leader. The offense runs through him. He still has all his off-court opportunities, movies, books, you name it, commercials, shoes, everything. It's the perfect situation for him. Now, Jimmy Butler calls up, hey, listen, let's go to the Knicks. Let's go to the Clippers. Why? We're going to win the East.
Sure.
We have a great chance of actually winning the NBA Finals. Look at my team. I mean, there's no possible way. As a matter of fact, we don't need you, Jimmy. Don't need you.
No.
Maybe 5-10 years from now, let's figure it out when we're both kind of winding down in our careers.
No, I don't think they do, and I like Jimmy Butler. I don't think they do. I would never just – make no mistake, I would never do any of those deals.
So let's say Minnesota changes their mind and they trade Jimmy Butler away and they trade him, let's say, to the Clippers, okay? What's to say that the Clippers are not a complete disaster because there is a history back up again? It doesn't make a difference where the Lakers are. The Lakers are always head and shoulders above the Clippers in that town. Is Kyrie Irving suddenly at the end of this year, if the Celtics go on to reel off 65 wins and go to an NBA final?
That's not the interesting.
He's going to leave and go to the Clippers?
That's not the interesting destination. I don't know why you picked the Clippers. Why don't you pick the Knicks?
I'll pick the Knicks.
Okay.
I still think the Knicks have major problems. Okay. You want to talk about that franchise in the history? They still have
They do, but do you remember the report about Kyrie maybe wanting to play in New York? That's a more intriguing trade if he goes to the Knicks and says, hey, we're here. You know, we got to put a little team together. All we need is this point guard. Kyrie, all we need is you. We can go. We're boys. Let's play together. I still would roll the dice because I don't think Kyrie's going anywhere.
I don't either.
But I will say this, and sorry, Horford people, Kyrie Irving's the most important player in this team.
No question.
He's the difference of a championship caliber club or not. If Kyrie walks, you still have a lot of talent. There's no question about it. But Kyrie Irving's the one guy that's proven he can win a championship. He can make the big shots on the road in championship games. Kyrie Irving is the reason why now you got a shot to win a championship in the next few years. So he can't... But I would still roll the dice because I don't think he's going anywhere.
Listen, I think Boston is going to be the perfect destination for Kyrie Irving. First of all, he's the star, and this is his team. He has a perfect complement of players. Average Al will do whatever they want him to do and doesn't need to be the star.
No, and still be praised for right. him. So it's
fine. For silencing the haters.
Yeah, he's good.
Gordon Hayward, who's not getting a lot of the love right now.
Because out of mind.
He's fallen behind in these polls they're putting together of the top 100 players. It's unbelievable. ESPN, when he's 40th, that's a joke. That's embarrassing. Unless he isn't healed and the leg's going to fall off this year.
You know, and I know.
Exactly. So something's wrong. But again, he's a player who is a star player but doesn't need to have that persona of being the star player. Kyrie's got young players who are just learning and happy to be there. It's the perfect situation for him. But getting back to dealing away for Butler, because Butler's a good player. He's a really good player. He's also 29 years of age. I look at Jaylen Brown, and I look at Jaylen Brown where he is after a year or two. He is ahead of where Jimmy Butler was, and I think they're similar players. They're both really good defenders. They're wing players. Actually, Jaylen Brown is a better three-point shooter than Butler is, and Butler's probably a better inside force, and he doesn't turn the ball over as often as Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's 21. I have Jaylen Brown for the next 3 years under my contract under a rookie deal. Butler is gone at the end of this year if you go and make a trade for him. And if you sign him to a max contract deal, as you will try to sign Kyrie Irving, we know how it works in the NBA. Everybody's got an opt-out after 2 years. Nobody's got a five-year guarantee. It's five-year guaranteed for the player, but it's not five-year guaranteed so for the team.
Jimmy Butler says, hey, I want to be traded. And everybody's supposed to jump up and say, yes, sir, what can I do for you? How can I make this work for you? All these guys are – these NBA players are nuts.
You know, a lot of them do get what they want as long as they kick and scream.
They
and
all get cause what they a fuss. Want, Christian. They all
you're
do.
Sitting there, oh, I'm going to dictate, you know, hey, I'm Jimmy Butler. I don't want to be traded. And just here's a list of demands. I only want to go
he wants
to
go to the Knicks.
I only want to go to the Clippers or the Knicks. And, you know, I want Kyrie Irving to go with me. Can you make that happen? Kyrie Irving has no desire to go.
It's Kyrie like they just, Irving's not on this team. September
10th. They just throw names out and I just hope that it happens.
They tell me that Kyrie
being insider.
They're convinced he's going to the Knicks.
He's not going anywhere.
I'm convinced of it. I've been told by my sources are impeccable.
Yeah, you got DM'd.
They have beautiful skin. I love to take the skin and make a sweater out of it. Go over to the truck for a minute.
You want to pet my puppy? There's a puppy in the truck.
You want to discuss the SI and ESPN?
Sure, let's do it. Well, we love lists,
these
right?
These are foolish.
We like lists.
These are foolish. So we talked about the SI one last week in which Al Horford was the highest ranked Celtic player at number 16.
17th player in the league.
I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. I don't care if Kyrie Irving plays 65 games this upcoming season. He's the best player on the Boston Celtics. He's number 17 in their poll. Hayward was 25. Tatum, 39. Brown, 47. Terry Rozier, 82.
And for the record,
a little too high.
I will say, at 17, I did believe I said that he is somewhere between 30 and 35. Right?
You
realistically.
Said who was?
Horford.
Horford.
17th best player in the game. 17th player in the NBA. Best player in the NBA.
So you're going to like
meanwhile, the NBA players are sitting here saying, okay, we get to select anybody we want for the All-Star game. Who was the last one picked?
Al Horford is not that guy.
No, he's not.
So you're going to like the ESPN poll because
it's more realistic.
Kyrie was low. Kyrie was the highest on the Celtics, but he was only at number 20, which to me is he should be.
It is.
Even coming off the injury, 12
or 13.
I would agree,
but what was their reasoning? The reasoning was he's only played 68 games the last few years, and he obviously, if he's healthy this year, he'll be on the rise.
Yeah, but how?
So just more realistic people making a list. That's all they are.
No. Joel Embiid has played how many games? And Joel Embiid was number 8 or 9.
Played in the playoffs last year,
too. No, exactly.
Played in the playoffs the entire year. Didn't miss any games in the playoffs.
They're picking and choosing who they like. That's what they're doing.
There's not many Al Horfords out there, right? If there were, those teams would be in the Eastern Conference finals.
Tatum is 24, a little bit, I think, too high for him. They're getting carried away. He was a terrific rookie season, but you need to see a little bit more. Horford was 34, probably where he should be. And notice ESPN, in their little synopsis, called him Average Al.
How about it?
Don't you have a copyright or something? Quote, you should have some control of that.
Average Al.
They called him Average Al.
This ranking reflects the respect our panel continues to have for him. Right. You know what? Good for you. Right. 34.
There are nights that he just plays like an average player.
34. Yes.
So Jaylen Brown was 37. Gordon Hayward, 40. Sorry. He's a much better player than
and
that.
He will.
Much better player. Marcus Smart, who did not make the SI list, pops in at number 55. Terry Rozier, same spot at 82.
But, I mean, they're realistic. Even Hayward. They say, you know, he had the injury, but likely he's a top 25 player, just he missed the entire year. So it's like they want to get their eyes on him, make sure he's right. But they admit he's a top 20, 25 player. So this is, whoever did this ranking is somewhat realistic.
Better than the SI one.
Oh, my God. The SI one was a troll job. That's all that was.
Yeah. Well, they apparently forgot about Kyrie Irving. Though I think this one was kind of interesting. So Brian Windhorst broke down, because they did a lot of separate stuff. He broke down the Celtics' wings. Are you ready for this? He's got Tatum 1, Brown 2, and Hayward 3? Come on.
Well, they just haven't seen him.
Come on.
No, the whole year. Hold on.
It is our responsibility to carry that on.
Gordon Hayward is a better
player. Saw last.
Come on.
The last impression you have of Hayward is him, you know, rolling on the floor with his leg broken. You forget how important, what a big free agent this guy was. That's fine. Give Tatum and give Brown their love. They've earned it.
So it's probably great for Hayward because he's going into the season with low expectations. Nobody thinks he can do anything. And probably the same thing for Kyrie because I think the Celtics did so well in the postseason without him. Not only did it help somebody like Jason Tatum, it hurt in the image out there of Kyrie Irving. He's not that good. What are you talking about? Celtics still got to the NBA Finals.
Arguably your two best players in no particular order, and you still made it to the finals.
Come on.
Yeah, the rest of the list, I guess you have LeBron, who's number one, obviously, but then the rest, you could just, it's number one and the others.
Yeah, LeBron had a rough night.
You know, James Harden, Kevin Durant, You know, Anthony Davis. I mean, really, like, what's the difference between those guys? Like a hair, if any.
Yeah, but
you love them all in the same bucket.
But I do think you're right. They picked and chose how many games players played last year. Embiid's a great example. Embiid is a great player if he can show up every night. The problem is he has trouble playing in those back-to-backs. This is an ongoing thing. But he did play in the playoffs, as you said. Kyrie Irving did not. And therefore, the impression is, Kyrie didn't play. We haven't seen him lately. We haven't seen him there. But I see no need to make a Jimmy Butler trade. And I was shocked that a lot of the green teamers are sitting going, oh, yeah, yeah. Not because he makes you a much better team. It's they're all fearful.
You know,
this is the only way we're going to hold on to Kyrie Irving.
When you look at this team, you know, you can start talking about how they got to put their bench together, right?
Yeah.
And the only real upgrade you'd be looking for would be at the center position. That would be it. And that's why we talk about Anthony Davis. That's why Carl Anthony Towns' name has come up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm talking, you know, realistic guys, because you're not going to go get LeBron, you know, and you're going to get Kevin Durant. But when you look at this roster, like, do you need to upgrade Jason Tatum, Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward?
No.
I mean, really? I mean, you know, so Jimmy Butler, we're good. We're good. You know?
So if you do a Butler deal now, Lou, you can't lock him in. You can't do that until the end of next season because he has a player option. He would have to decide what he's going to do with that player option. So suppose you bring him in, as some of the green teamers are claiming you need to do to babysit or take care or make sure that Kyrie doesn't leave anywhere. And at the end of the season, both Kyrie and Jimmy Butler sit there and say, you know what? I don't like Boston. Do you like Boston? Nah, let's get out of
so
here.
Yeah, they're so mean and nasty.
Yeah, they're terrible. No.
This
you know?
Team is whenever you start adding names.
You can't even get a butterfly steak, you know? Yeah. You got to get out of here. Yeah.
No, whenever somebody sits there and tries to add a player, tries to take a current Celtic off the roster and implement him on some other team because of some friendship and bromance that they have, some old AAU or college connection, you know, it's not happening. Nobody from this roster is leaving. Not the key five or six guys. No freaking way. These guys are here for the duration.
So you trade Jaylen Brown away. You've brought Butler in here. And then both Butler and Kyrie at the end of the year say, see you later. We're going bye-bye. We're going to the Knicks. We're going to the Clippers.
Right. They both take off. And now you just traded one of those two pieces, you know, to get Jimmy Butler. No chance.
I'm sorry. But
we're not telling y'all, dude.
No chance.
Foolish. I don't think Kyrie's going anywhere. I think this is the absolute perfect team for him. All right, 617-779-7937. Mike Lombardi will join us at 4:30. He knows an awful lot about Josh Gordon. He dealt with him on a day-to-day basis. We'll throw some of those questions out to him coming up in about 20 minutes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.